across to Oxford to the Thrive Conference. The Thrive Conference is what used to be called the Leaders Conference for the Salt and Light family of churches. It was a rich time. And so I've asked various members that went along to that to share what God was saying to them. And we're each going to pick one of our highlights. But before we get that, one of the key components on the first meeting was understanding who we as a church, the wider church of Salt and Light, are. And so I've asked Harvey if he will do this next section and a little bit of a recap, a brief overview for you, so you can catch where we are as a family of churches.
Gosh, who doesn't love branding, eh? Now, I know that might be your initial response when somebody starts talking about branding and strap lines and stuff. It gets a bit like, ugh. But actually, it's quite important stuff if it's got life in it. And especially when, you know, there's been a few changes in Salt and Light in the last few years. And one of the really good changes was that Rich and Anna have taken over the helm. And they very much wanted to sort of clarify and express who we are in a way that people can get behind, especially people who are new to the stream. You know, what are you all about? Well, here you go. And that's what this is for. It's not trying to limit us. It's just trying to sort of clarify who we are. So for the last year or so, they've been working in a couple of different teams to try and bring a clarity of vision. And the idea behind that is unity. So this is all about trying to put us in a position where we can live that abundant life, but not feel sort of, you know, stressed about it all. You know, what are we meant to be doing? Well, this is a sort of an expression of that. And, you know, the classic line, without vision, the people perish, was used. So that's the context of where we're going. But they very much said at the start, don't panic. You're going to recognize most of this. Because what they weren't trying to do was express some completely different thing that we're going to go into. They were trying to express who we are. Yeah. So you should look at this and you should think, oh, yes. Yeah, that's who we are. This is, he described it as, you know, a fresh chapter in the same book. You know, it would be really weird if you changed genre mid-book. I think he said if you were, you know, halfway through a romance novel and you flip chapter and it turned into a sci-fi, that'd be odd. So that's not what this is. This is a fresh chapter in the same book. Right, so there you go. I've just warmed you up a bit. First thing, though, this is quite cool. New logo. Look at that. So we had a little game. So we'll play it with you guys. Anybody who was there is not allowed to play. This is for newbies. What do you think that looks like? Arrow? Tent? Arrow? Anything else? Christmas tree? We had that. Yep, absolutely. Any others? Yeah, I shouted out spaceship. He struggled with that one. But he did manage to work in tent, people of God, you know, going places, trees, life, growth, all that stuff. Arrow, obviously, direction. I like the fact it points upwards. It is actually a true logo. It's a new one, and it's, you know, it's there to make you think and talk. I quite like it. I'd wear a t-shirt with that on. So there we go. That was the start of it. Right, there you go. There's your blurb. Now let's get on with it. So the first thing they did was try and sum it all up in one easy strap line. That's it. It's a strap line with two halves. Thriving churches, advancing the kingdom. So everything else is based around that. And I'm not going to go into this too much detail because actually Rich is coming to visit us in May. Not that long. So if you've got any questions, don't ask me, ask him. That's fine. Ask us if you've got any questions about this. Fine. So what does thriving churches mean? It means thriving community life. It means thriving devotional life. It means thriving missional life. So I don't have to give you lots of words, because actually if you want to know what each of those means, there's these things. And there'll be some around the back at the end if you want to have a read of one, or if you want to take one away. We should have enough for one per family unit. But have a look at it. If you want to take it home and read it and study it, then that's fine too. So thriving community life, thriving devotional life, thriving missional life is what we mean by thriving churches. The word thrive was the name of the conference. The word thrive appears a lot everywhere. But that's because it's about this fullness of life. That's what we mean when we say thrive. So what does advancing the kingdom mean? It means proclaiming the gospel, shaping society, and loving the nations. So we've got one strap line in two halves. Each half's got sort of three sort of headings underneath it, which is great, isn't it? You know, it gives us something to focus on, gives us something to talk about, gives us something to pray about, gives us something to sort of give ourselves a health check against. But actually, what does that mean we're going to do? Well, that's the next bit. So all good strategies, and I do a lot of this, have these, in my working life, have long-term ambitions. Why is that? Because if you don't aim somewhere, you're never going to get anywhere. So your 10-year strategies are your sort of, it would be great if these things could happen. So there's a set of 10-year strategies that have been, you know, aspirations, you know, visions in God, where we'd love to get to in 10 years. You know, we want to see our existing churches strengthened. We want to see, I should read it off here, otherwise I'm going to be facing you with the back of my head, aren't I? Yes. Existing churches strengthened. We want to see new churches planted, including into cities. That was a specific thing they said they felt was something that God was stirring up in them. We want to see, you know, we've got a really strong hub in Oxford, and it's a cracking facility. You know, if you've not been there, I encourage you to go across. And they act as a hub church, enabling people. But actually, if we're to grow as a stream, we need multiple hub churches fulfilling that role of, you know, enabling the people around them. And we need many leaders of all generations, you know, to be raised up and equipped so that they can go on to plant and lead churches. So as well as 10-year strategies, which are great aspirations, you know, places we'd love to get to, you need something to get your teeth into now. So they came up with a set of 2-year strategies, but first of all, the rest of the 10 years. So in that advancing the kingdom, they recognised that we need to get our culture right. We need to, you know, act like we preach. You know, we need to be consistent. We need to be authentic, all those things. We need many leaders equipped and inspired to advance the kingdom. And we need greater connections with other networks. We recognise it in this country, in Stroud. We're quite good at this in Stroud, but we need to do this right across the country. Connect with other groups of Christians who are a bit like us and want the same things that we do. And also, Salt and Light has always had a vision for the nations, so we continue to have one. Right, there's your 10-year strategies. If you're one of the sort of person who, whenever somebody says the phrase 10-year strategies, you go, oh, whatever. Here's the thing you can get excited about. In the next 2 years, this is what they'd like to achieve. I think Richard is still, you know, feeling like he's moving into this leadership role. We've now got where we are. What he wants to do in the next 2 years is get the culture and values consistent and identified and, you know, easy to express. So if somebody turned up at the back of the church and said, what are you guys all about? Actually, you'd be able to tell them in a reasonably succinct and consistent way that would feel roughly the same right across Salt and Light. Obviously, we'd put a little bit of Stroud in there, but you know what I mean. They want to identify leaders who have got the potential to take on leadership roles. They want a clear strategy for how you don't just identify one set of leaders, but produce what's called a pipeline, jargon word, do apologise, they used it. It just means that rather than having one set of leaders, you have some leaders now, and then some leaders a year later, and some leaders a year later, so you get a consistent set of leaders coming through. And we want to train them. The church planting bit was interested. They said that they don't want to plant any new churches for the next 2 years. They want to support the ones that are there. So Cheltenham over the hill from us is obviously there, is doing quite well. We've not heard a bit much about Cheltenham recently, but they're doing reasonably well, Cheltenham. But they want to support the ones that are there, but they don't want to plant any new ones because they want to seek God for the next 2 years to find out what the next step is. Where do we need to plant churches? So here you go. Here's an opportunity for Stroud. If you think Gloucestershire should be the site of a new church plant somewhere, I don't know, maybe you love Tewkesbury or whatever it is, pray about it because, you know, God might give you a vision and you can feed that vision in. They don't know where they're going to plant churches. That's what I'm trying to say. This is not a foregone conclusion. All they do know is they've got this word cities, but they don't know what it means. So they're going to look over the next 2 years where the next set of church plants will be. So there you go. That's exciting. Maybe it will be Tewkesbury. Who knows? And then nations, they want to identify. I mean, in this church, we have two strong connections with two nations already. So we have very strong connections with the Philippines and with Nepal. But as a stream, there's loads of connections amongst all the churches. I think, again, they want to pray about and identify those nations that they can really form a bond with. And, you know, we can be good for them and they can be good for us. So there's the 2 years' strategic priorities. And that was it, really. So, oh, gosh, that's a bit of a prequel. I can't go back. It's not going back. Bear with me a second. Thank you. Thank you, brother. I won't spoil whoever's picture that was. You might recognise her if you've been in the church long enough. Right, so there you go. I've done the strategic bit. Do you know, it would be good if we didn't just go, whatever. So if you want to know any more about that, do ask. If you want to have a read of it, do grab it. Pray into it. Yeah, that would be good. Because this is something that Salt and Light, which is, as Martin said, this group of churches that we're part of, feels really passionately about. And actually, we're part of it, which means we can feed into it. So in all those two-year priorities, if you think there's something you want to add in, then let's add it in. I'll talk to Martin and I if you've got anything like that.
Cool. I'm both Shirley and Roy today, actually, because Shirley's managed to go upstairs with the kids. I thought that was rather... With the kid, is it? Oh, with the kid. With the kid, yeah. And you know what? It was a great... weekend, really, really good. Worship was really good. we had Mary playing as well with her violin, which is just amazing. Do you know, she was in Gloucester Cathedral on Friday with Stephen doing some concert there. She left and then went to Oxford all day Saturday and came back. I thought you'd be here playing, Mary. I mean, what's wrong with you? We're probably going to repeat, I think, some of these things because we all went to various meetings and we probably all had similar things. One thing that really there's two couple actually. One of them I'm going to mention is thriving in the prophetic. We had a lady called Lynn Swart who works for New Day United, which brings hope and help and healing to the people of Africa. And it was just amazing. There was a great worship time while she was there. I found myself going up to the front for prayer. I can't even remember walking there, but I did. It was just a phenomenal time. Let's talk a little bit about prophecy. Prophecy should be to encourage people. We have prophecy here. Tracy does quite a bit of prophetic words. I think it would be good to try and encourage that more in the church, quite honestly. It should be based on four things: his love, his righteousness, his forgiveness, and his patience. And prophecy should also be tested by the word in Scripture. We need to test the character of the delivery, but it must not be used for manipulation. I believe God's telling you to do this. Is it you or is it God doing it? Is it the Holy Spirit? We must recognize that prophecy is from the Spirit. We must earnestly desire the gift. If we believe God is telling us to be a prophet, even, we must have the motivation of love. It must be given in love. We must step out in faith, walk in humility with God, and be willing to take responsibility for what you're going to say. How do we start? We wait on the Lord, we watch and listen, and we are real. Ask God to give you a prophetic word for someone. I've had a prophetic word in the past, long time ago actually, hasn't happened quite a time. But it just comes and you think, well, I've got to give that word to somebody. I'm going to talk just a little bit about, we had a lady called Jo Hargreaves, and I think Martin's probably going to speak a bit more on that. But she's a pastor and she's a psychotherapist. I thought this is going to be interesting. She was saying what we think affects not just our mind, it affects our body as well. If you just look at Proverbs, we don't look at it now, but Proverbs 23:7, it says, as a man thinks, so he becomes. And did you know our guts are actually connected to our brain? It's like a second brain, apparently. What we eat can affect our mood, affect what we think, affect all sorts of things. I'm not going to go in great detail on this because I'm sure a lot of others went there, and it was a great seminar, that one. I'm now going to be Shirley, actually. So if I get my hair and put it down like that, you realise I'm now Shirley. Shirley went, she went to a couple of these anyway, but she also went to Thriving in the Workplace by a guy called David Walker. Now, Shirley, as some of you know, works at the Ark and the Well on Wednesday, and that's at St. Lawrence's Church Hall. And she felt that this was going to be something for her. She went with you, I think, didn't she, Martin, to this one? We are called for a purpose of work. She gave us the six M's of fruitfulness. Be a model of godly character. This, I believe, is what you're supposed to be when you're with other people and you just present God in the way that you interact with people, really. You must make good work. People see what you do. Minister grace and love to people. I don't quite understand this world. Mould culture. Do you know what that actually means?
So when you're within a culture, you help shape it.
Okay, you mould it. You mould that culture, yeah. Not mouldy culture, no. Be a mouthpiece for truth and justice. And finally, be a messenger of the gospel.
Shall I go up next? Because Harvey's already given away my picture. I've got a picture to show you. Can you put the picture back up? A cute picture, if I may say so myself. This is one of my children. I'm going to let you guess which one. But what do you notice, apart from the very big teddy bear? Anybody notice anything about how tiptoe? She's standing right up there on her tiptoes. And this picture came to mind when Lynn, who Roy was talking about, was speaking, because she said this phrase actually more than once in the different things that she was saying. And the phrase was, be on tiptoe of expectation of what God is doing. I'll say that again. Be on tiptoe of expectation of what God is doing. It was about being curious about what God's doing, being fascinated by what God's doing, being daily interested in what God's character is, what his nature's like, and also to look out for, you know, what's the Holy Spirit doing? How can we have that expectation that the Holy Spirit wants to move amongst us, wants to change us, wants to touch people's lives, wants to give us words of prophecy, give us words of encouragement? But we need that expectation. We need to be on tiptoe of expectation of what God's doing.
Morning. So it was an absolutely fantastic time. It ended up being the whole of the children's work team went along. So we ended up having a meeting. We've ended up having this kind of new kind of direction that we're going to kind of take the children's work along. We ended up deciding we need a kind of Bible that will kind of help transition our children. And ones that we hadn't invested in that kind of yet. That, you know, the Bibles that we had were really complex and not really accessible. And we found a Bible that is really accessible for our preschoolers, you know, and obviously those kind of young readers, which is really, really exciting. So we were able to invest in that. just, I didn't go to the seminar, but if anybody would like to geek out with me about neuroscience, please come and find me, because in my kind of secular kind of work, kind of neuroscience, psychology has been kind of like a major part. And God has been speaking to me a while about actually, like, He's made us. And even in the Old Testament, he has been telling us good things that will benefit us. You know, raising our hands. You know, our creator God has told us things that will really bless us and benefit us. And sometimes I feel like, because it's the Old Testament, we chuck it out. But actually, there are fundamental things that God's called us to do for our good. So if you want to come geek out, please come find me. I decided that I'd focus on what was kind of said by, it's another Lynn. She kind of titled her talk, Your Kingdom Come, Your Will Be Done. We've been given a circle of influence. God has placed us in the situation with the people that we are with to influence them, to bring the kingdom. Yeah, to be a kingdom influencer, yeah, to develop the kingdom culture of where we are. She did get us to kind of get our finger, like go around in a circle and just say, look, this is your circle of influence. You have been specifically placed somewhere to bring the kingdom. And it's to recognize the kind of power or authority that God has given you to bring his kingdom. It was kind of based on kind of bringing the culture of sacrificial love, demonstrating the love and recognizing the image of God in everybody around you. And actually, are we living proof? Are we living proof that we carry Jesus within us? Are we demonstrating that kind of sacrificial love to our sphere of influence? Authentic faith. It's a life yielded to the Holy Spirit, with a faith that God is alive and he is working. And are we on the tiptoes of expectation? Yeah. Are we expecting God to speak? Because he is. He is speaking, but we need to listen. And we are anchored in that hope. We believe in that eternal perspective, yeah, that Jesus has already come and he has saved us. And actually the hope is there. It is not lost. Yeah, and we are secure in that and that we can serve him. So that was what I got. Awesome.
Good morning. Well, I've written copious notes, none of which I can read. but I think I want to emphasize a couple of things, really. One was to build on what Shirley through Roy was saying about leadership in the workplace, because it is really important. I mean, I used to work as an engineer, and these days I don't think I work at all, but actually the discussion was that, yes, whatever you're doing, it's from God and it is important, and the six M's that Roy talked about are an essential part of that. But being a messenger of the gospel was the last of those, and the reason that it was the last, because you'd think it would be the first, wouldn't you, talking about God and Jesus. The reason it was last was because unless you're doing and living the other five, then people will take note of how you live and how you behave and how you interact, and the message of the gospel will not get through because you're a bad example. So I thought that was quite encouraging. I mean, it's kind of daunting to think that everything you do is being witnessed and being used as a means of bringing people or not to Jesus, but it was quite encouraging, and the discussions were really fruitful, and David Walker is an excellent speaker, and I mean you've interacted with him in the past, haven't you, and hopefully he'll come and talk to us here at some stage. That'd be really good. The other group was on worship, and it was really good, but it also, I mean, smugness crept in, because all of the things that they said we should be doing, it turns out we are doing. So in terms of the songs fitting together with each other and with the talk, with making people feel welcome, whether they've been coming for a long time or they're new, with making sure that if there are words of prophecy, that they're introduced into the worship, all of those things we're doing. There were other things that came up that we can implement and hopefully we will do. But I thought that was really good. But the principal lesson for me, I'm afraid, was the journeys to and from and the conversations that we had at mealtimes. It was really, because an underlying theme was family and our place within Salt and Light family, but also within SCF. And families talk to each other and they find out about each other and they're interested and they look forward to things and they share and they commiserate and they celebrate. And the journey to and from was about an hour and a half each way. County Council were very kind on the way back. They gave us an extra half hour to talk. And they put up some misleading road signs, which really helped the conversation. But found out all sorts of things during those conversations and during meal times, breakfast time, really productive. I found out, for example, how disappointed Richard had been to have a baby sister. I'm sure Richard would tell us about that if we... It turns out that Sally was born in a different country, and all of Richard's friends, all of Richard's school friends, because he was three or four at the time, had black babies, black brothers and sisters, and Richard's parents had made the mistake of producing a white baby. Really disappointing. And the other thing that I just... Well, there were several things, but the other thing that was really encouraging was Laura's house, because it turned out... I mean, I knew that Laura had been looking for a house and for some time, but the sequence of events that coincidentally followed prayer to make that possible was quite revelationary. Yes, I think that's probably a word. And encouraging, you know, we pray and things happen and it's part of our family and it's a cause for celebration. So I think those are the main points from that. Thanks.
It was a very intense couple of days. It went from like 10 o'clock in the morning till 9:30 on the first day, and then sort of 9:30-ish, 10 till 4:30. So it was very full on. We heard lots of things, including, for example, the importance of discipleship, which I'm not sure you can talk about discipleship. I mean, one of the things that he was talking about, the importance of discipleship. And one of the things a guy said is you don't have discipleship doesn't come from the pulpit. Now, he was a big preacher and he was a bit disappointed that discipleship didn't come from the pulpit, because he assumed it would be, but actually discipleship comes at a much lower level. And he was talking about the importance of discipleship. He was also talking about developing a culture of prayer in churches. And he said, that's not having prayer meetings. It's not quite the same thing. It's developing a culture of prayer, of where people are praying regularly with each other, on their own, etc. And if you want to see God moving, you need to have a culture of prayer. But what I also want to share with you is I had a vision while we were all singing and praising the Lord. It's a bit unusual, as much as it wasn't a picture, it was a bit more of an experience. And I will show you that at the end, that it is confirmed by Scripture. Because whatever you have as a vision or a word, it has to conform to the Scriptures, yeah? And what it was is we were praising and worshipping the Lord, and suddenly I felt myself kind of being drawn into heaven, and it was quite awesome. And suddenly some of the things that were up here suddenly moved down into my heart. So for example, our Heavenly Father is Creator God. He has created and is creating everything. Heavens and the earth, the stars, the moon, the universe. Our God is the creator. I was going to refer to him as my God, and I realized that wasn't big enough. God is God Almighty and God alone. He is God alone. There is no other God besides our God. He is the great I am. He is reigning on high. And while I was having this vision, they were singing the song we had this morning, Waymaker. And yes, our Heavenly Father is the God who works miracles. He is the God who heals. He is the way maker. There is nothing that is impossible for our God. With our God, everything is possible. So there in heaven is our God. You look to earth and it was full of darkness. I thought, Lord, how? I asked, Lord, how do we receive your greatness here on earth? And I felt the Holy Spirit say, ask. So I did. And the answer was so simple and so crystal clear. The Lord said, you have the name of Jesus. You have the name of Jesus. All of heaven's provision, his kingdom comes in the name of Jesus. So, I shall read to you Acts 3, verse 1 to 10 and verse 14. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man, crippled from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Then in verse 14, Peter tells them, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. The name of Jesus, that is how we see the kingdom come. Amen.
Okay, folks, audience participation. Don't feel too bad about this. It's only one word, but I do want you to shout it. When I say, and they cried out in a loud voice, I'd like you to all shout, salvation. Right, we're not going to rehearse it. It's only one word. You can manage that. When I say, they cried out in a loud voice, you're going to shout, salvation. So we're starting at the end here with Revelation. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in the and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice,
salvation!
So that's where we're going. That's our long-term goal. That's longer than 10 years. I mean, it's good to have a 10-year strategy. I'm not knocking that at all. It's good to have the 2-year breakdown. Right? So that's our short-term plan, our medium-term plan. But this is God's long-term plan, that there will be a great multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language. So the standout thing for me of the whole conference was actually something that Steve Thomas said almost as a throwaway line, we don't talk enough about the nations. And I felt he was right. I thought, yeah, we don't talk enough about the nations. But there was a lot of stress on discipleship at the conference. And of course, what Jesus told us to do was go and make disciples of all nations. So I'm leaving that thought with you.
I won't say too much, but I just felt that personally I was really encouraged. I normally, obviously, I get words for people, and I want to tell you, I'm actually introvert. The only reason I have confidence to get up front is because I feel God's given me a word. But actually, I'm really shy. And that just, it seems a really odd thing to say. I'm in communication. I've been working as a journalist nearly 38 years. I'm used to speaking in front of people. But as a person, I'm really shy. But this person had a word for me. I was standing next to a guy who didn't know me. And he said, I want to tell you, you've got a very strong prophetic gift. You may be small in stature, but you're a giant in God, and you've got to be confident that you get the messengers, and as a messenger, you have to share. So I make no apology that sometimes when I keep coming up, it's not because I like the sound of my own voice, I really, really don't, but I really feel sometimes that urge to share that maybe it blesses and encourages someone. For me personally, to have someone give me a word of knowledge and encouragement really meant a lot. And the other thing, the biggest thing that got me, is I came away feeling I'm not odd or strange, because Liam spoke on the Saturday night. We couldn't be there for the Sunday. We had other commitments. But the thing is, Roger and I went for a walk. I went to one seminar, but I just needed time to process. And I said to him, this is before the evening, I said, you know what, Roger? I'm so desperate for God, but I know out of desperation comes faith. And what he spoke about that night was desperation and faith. I am desperate, really desperate, and I've been desperate a long time to see my town of Stroud come to know him in a fresh way. God's not called me anywhere else. I go to Liverpool, yes, I'm part of a ministry team, but it's to challenge me and to sharpen me for my own town. And I want to see people set free. And as I listened to his talk, I saw Jesus on the bridge, the gateway of Stroud. And as you know, Roger and I have been speaking about being gatekeepers, intercessors. And I saw Jesus on the bridge and he said, you know, Tracy, I love Stroud. I love Stroud. And I saw him and I took his hand and he walked me through Stroud. And what I'm sharing next week is what I feel is the next step for us to help bring Stroud back to its true identity. You know, he's got a purpose for each one of us, but he's got a destiny for Stroud too. But it comes out of desperation. And as the desperation, we pour it back into prayer. And out of prayer, the faith rises. But it's learning to not let that desperation get us down. It's learning to channel it in a positive way, and it's got to come back to him. It's all about him and his glory. So for me, that's what it just re-encouraged me, that I'm not odd and I'm not strange. And yes, I'm a bit weird and wonderful at times, but God's made me who I am, and we're just called to be what we're meant to be. So make no apology for what God's given you. Be who you're meant to be.
It's a really powerful talk. But actually, I just want to say a little bit more about discipleship. He was really stark about this, actually. He said that discipleship is the main business of the church. And he's in good company, because that's what Jesus said as well, wasn't it? Jesus told us to go and make disciples. And he said that discipleship is about building a set of disciples who go on to disciple other people. He said, at the end of his talk, he said, that's basically the test. The test is you make disciples who make disciples. This is about the kingdom of God moving forward. And he really laid it on thick that this is the most important thing, really. He said, if you think about what Jesus did with his 3 years, Jesus spent some time teaching. You know, he spent some time walking around. He spent most of his time discipling. That's where he put the majority of his time on earth, and he knew it was limited. So, you know, if Jesus did it, we should be doing it. He really, really laid it on thick. And then he said something that really struck me, so I'll just say this and leave that. You know, his previous talk he'd done on Moses. Good bloke, you know, good, and he said lots of good things about Moses. But he said, actually, in many ways, the most impressive thing Moses did was disciple Joshua. So Moses didn't get to go into the promised land, but Joshua did. And then throughout Joshua's story, it keeps referring back to Moses. And he says that is actually testimony to the discipleship that Moses did with Joshua. And then he said this, and this was really challenging. He He said, Joshua didn't do it. It does not talk about Joshua discipling somebody in turn. So we've had this great example of Moses doing it for him, but he hadn't done it for anybody else. And then he said, he didn't pull punches, this guy. He said, and that's how you got the book of Judges. And he, that's like 200 years of God's people wandering off and then God sending a judge and dragging them back because Joshua hadn't raised up a leader like Moses and like himself. And he said, unless you want to see the church become the book of Judges, we need to disciple. As I say, he didn't pull any punches, that bloke. But it was food for thought, I think.
Just to say that all of these talks will be available shortly. When they're available, we'll let you know. They'll probably be, the ones on video will be on YouTube. The rest will be audio. Can I encourage you, talk to someone that's been and just sort of say, I was really intrigued by what you said. Which talk did you go to? What did you hear? Because all of, there wasn't a duff one. Different talks will have resonated with different people in different ways, but there wasn't a duff talk. But the one line that caught me off guard in amongst other stuff was this. And he was talking about how do we live our lives. It was the reference, this was Anderson Mayo, who leads the black churches predominantly up in Sheffield area of the UK. And he was talking about how Moses lived under open heavens. He had an intimacy with God. He heard the voice of God. Moses was around when they were collecting manna every day and recognizing the need to go out and collect your manna for today, not try and store it up because it would go moldy. And that we need to meet with God. And then he just slid this one line in. You can't multitask in God's presence. You can't multitask in God's presence. What does that mean? If you're serious about reading your Bible, you don't do it on an audio app while you're driving. You set time aside. There was a group, a number of us were in a group talking about this afterwards, and sort of like, well, what about praying then? I pray in the car. But actually, if you're praying, there's nothing wrong with praying in the car, but if you're serious about meeting with God, don't do it while you're trying to multitask. And I think for me, that's set where I need to be. If we're serious about meeting with God, don't try and fit God into everything else you're doing. Prioritize the time with God first. You'll then find there's plenty of time to do the other stuff. But we can't multitask in God's presence. So, there's loads more from this conference. There's loads more I hope will filter out. But for now, I think that just gives you a flavour. And as I say, I will let you know when all those audios or videos appear online. And I'd encourage you, watch them. And if you want to be part of next year's conference, let me know. And we'll look into how we can make that happen. But in the meantime, take note of all you've heard. Some of that passion, because we're about the kingdom of God. And we want to be a thriving church. A thriving church that advances the kingdom.